On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello there.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. It is. I know it is. Or maybe it's not. I'm not sure now. That'll be enough of that. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. Make yourself comfortable. This is going to be an interesting program. I have a feeling. I feel it in my bones. I don't know what that means either. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, whom I think shall astound you. That was hard to say. But first, you know what? I don't know how old you are. I don't play those games. I can't guess your age. 27, am I right? Oh, I was. Oh, that's pretty good. Probably a little bit older than you. I've been around. It's not my first rodeo. Actually, I went to one rodeo and never went to another one again. Boring. But, so. Anyway. Rodeos. Come on, man. Climbing on the backs of animals like bulls and horses so they can throw you off, and a rodeo clown with too much makeup can save your life. How embarrassing is that? Or if they don't save your life, the last thing you see before you die is a clown huddled over you trying to resuscitate you. The last thing I want is a clown at my deathbed. Seriously? Come on. Unless you work for Ringling Brothers, that's just an odd thing to happen. Anyway, I've been around the block. I've beaten the bush many times. Wow. These analogies are getting out of hand. And what I found was that we spend most of our lives, watch out, this is going to get heavy, but I'm trying to bond us with some type of happiness. What I've learned is most of our lives we're searching for the stuff that's unsearchable and unattainable. You know that phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side? It's a good phrase. It has to do with fertilizing your lawn. But also, whatever they have and you don't have, you want. Isn't that odd? We spend most of our lives grasping for the brass ring, going for the goal. Even in sports, that's the whole concept. We spend the whole game just trying to score all the points and win the game. The journey is the thing. Getting to the point is not the thing. It's not a barometer of your life. Who told you that? Oh, God, it's not. It's the journey and having a good time while you're getting there. That's what it's about. Yes, but, I wish I had what my neighbors had. No, you don't. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. They could hate their guts. And they want what you have. Your neighbors are actually saying, boy, I wish what they had, I had. We spend our lives just like with these concepts that are just flying all over the place. The simplicity of it all is what it is. I didn't have a very close relationship with my father. Oh, Ron, we're going to get into this? What is this, your therapy session? No, I didn't have a close relationship with my father. Does that mean I had a horrible childhood? No. I guess I could make it be that. Oh, it was horrible. I was not very close to my father ever. We butted heads a lot. We had similar personalities. We were stubborn. We were very opinionated. I didn't get along with my father, and I think that's the reason for my great disdain. No, it's not. No, it's not. My father and I didn't get along. We didn't do a lot of stuff together. I mean, now whenever I see a father, do I go into a deep depression? No. No. Because that's common. Arguing with your parents. Oh, I couldn't get along with my parents. Cut it out. Just cut it out. Stop making such big things about this. And because things happened to you when you were a child, it doesn't make you a victim in life. Childhood is such a small portion of your existence. I know. But the problem is those small number of years craft you through your entire life. Well, that doesn't sound right, does it? Change it. Change it. That's the goal. That's the goal. Change the stuff that's been bothering you all of your life. That's the goal. Because that's what's standing in the way of your happiness. Change that. The point of life is happiness. I had a close friend named Steve who passed away about a decade ago. We did deep talks. We would go to the bar, have a beer, and we would have deep talks. This is very, very interesting. And one day he turned to me and I turned to him, and basically at the same time we said, what's the meaning of life? And we both responded pretty much the same. And that was just to be happy. Put a smile on your face, laugh. You know that feeling when you're laughing and you got a big smile when you're laughing? That's the one I like. That's the one I like. So that's what I pursued as a career. Yeah, not a bad idea. Am I happy all the time? No. Am I sad all the time? No. But that was our conversation at the bar. What's the meaning of life? Be happy, man. It's a road trip. Just be happy. That's it, man. Stop grasping for straws that you can't reach, frustrating yourself, trying to get along with everybody, trying to understand everybody. Doesn't mean crap, my friends. You're you. They're them. The significance of it is you. It's not them. That doesn't mean you should have an ego. I'm just saying. You should always respect people. But leave them alone if you don't like them. Anyway, meaning of life, happiness. That's it. Everything you can do in order to achieve that goal of happiness. And nobody's a cheerleader. A cheerleader is something that you do in high school. You know, you get up and you arouse the crowd, you know, by jumping up and down with your tits and things like that, you know, and putting a big smile on your face. And life is not a cheerleading thing. It's not. It's a fictitious little segment of a sporting event. No, stop trying to have everything that they have. Or want to be happy like them. No, you want to be happy like you. Your own happiness is different than their happiness. Stop putting everything on them. Stop being affected by them. They're not significant to you if you don't let them be. And that's all, man. You know, that's all I'm saying. So I didn't have a close relationship with my father, but the one thing that he did say to me, which has resounded through most of my life, so which gave him some point of significance. And what he said to me, and I don't think he actually knew what he was saying, but it was cool. I was probably about 13 years old, and I was upset about something, as 13-year-olds are always upset about something. And I don't know, and the way he calmed me down was he said to me, he said, Ron, he said, break things down to their simplest compound. I mean, just keep it simple. Whenever life gets confusing, break it down to its simplest component. And you'll find it's not difficult to solve, not difficult to get through. Just break it down to simple. Because all that stuff around the simple, that's all drama and confusion. And it's hiding the simple thing in the middle. Once you got a simple thing, easier to control, easier to resolve. Are you enjoying this show? Are you still here? Anyway, I mean, that's about it, man. I'm done. I'm going to go have a tuna fish sandwich. By the way, if you have a tuna fish sandwich, brush your teeth afterwards. People know you've had tuna fish. It's one of the few foods where people know. Not that I care, but I kind of do. I don't want to smell like tuna fish. It's not a goal in my life. Ron, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a guy that smells like tuna fish. Don't eat tuna fish. Don't drink gin. Gin is one of the stinkiest alcohols. You can smell gin on people really easily. Whiskey too, but gin, really, that's an aroma. Garlic. Come on, man. Come on. That's just selfish. Well, I like garlic. It's good for me. Yeah, but it sucks for everybody else who's around you. All that air in the room, you've changed it and made it unbearable for everybody else. So go home. Anyway. How are you doing, by the way? How are you feeling, huh? I've said this so many times. I am the only talk show host on the planet. That's not the end of the sentence. I'm the only talk show host on the planet who actually cares about how you're feeling. And in the middle of his show, and this is the show, actually stops and says, well, how are you feeling? How are you doing? It's stupid because I can't hear you. It's not a call-in show. If you're going to start complaining about things, I can't hear you because it's a one-way thing. But at least someone asked you. Someone who doesn't care, granted, but someone did ask you. Every once in a while, I'll encounter one of my neighbors. And, you know, they're very nice people, very nice people. By the way, keep your neighbors on just a okay, how you doing kind of level. Don't get friendly with them. Then you're asking for trouble. Because if something goes awry, you got to move it out of the neighborhood, and that's not good. Keep it on a very, very surface relationship. To the extent where the deepest relationship you have with them is, well, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. See you. Take care. Have a nice life. That's good, see, because you've built a relationship based on absolutely nothing. And those are the ones that stick. Because there's no drama. There's no drama. Drama's a horrible thing. Oh, drama's bad. I know a lot of people who are just overly dramatic with their lives. Everything that happens is a drama. No, I'm not into drama. I'm into comedy. Drama, not so much. When I see a dramatic movie, you know, when people are in turmoil. If you go to the movies, there are only three things in life. There's sadness and turmoil and drama. That's one kind of movie. There's complete moronic happiness to the point where people put on hats with beer cans tipped upside down with a hose that goes into their mouth. And their entire life is a fraternity party. That sucks. And the other one are the people that who are deeply in love. I can't live without you. Oh, don't go to work today. Then I'll miss you for 7 or 8 hours. Oh, don't go. And when you come back, let's have sex in the alleyway behind the house. Let's have sex in the rain or in the bathtub. I miss you already. Even between the words I've said, I've missed you. That's pathetic as well. See, the point is, you got to mix it up a bit. Except for the drama part. That sucks all the time. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. And then my guest is going to join us. Okay, is that all right with you? Yeah, better be, because that's what's going to happen. I'll be right back after this short but lovely commercial presentation.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Jeffrey Meschel joins us now. He's a business executive, and he's written quite an interesting book, Trust is a Double-Edged Sword, Trust Me. Nice title. I like that, by the way.
Thank you.
You have an interesting history. Many people have interesting histories. Yours is bookworthy. Let's go back to childhood. Tell me what was going on.
Look, I was kidnapped when I was 4 years old. My parents then got divorced when I was 5, remarried each other when I was 15, got divorced again when I was 25. Wow. During that all that time, my mother became a very extreme alcoholic. I lived with her, all sorts of crazy things. I took care of her. My dad lost all of his money, so I wound up working and helping him. And, I dealt with it, and I lived with it. It didn't really bother me because it was just my normal. I look back at it now, and I realize it was the definition of dysfunction. I excelled in business. I did a lot of cool things. And, the book, I wrote this book because I had a crooked partner, and I had to use a pen name, which you'll see the title. Waywill, which is a combination of my son and his middle name and my middle name, because the publisher would, I'm sorry?
No, yes, go on.
The publisher wouldn't let me use my name because I go into detail about this guy, David Kushner. His wife just went off the terrace in Boca Raton 4 months ago. Mother thinks he killed her. It's like, it's almost in the next, they're telling me this is the next Netflix series. But yeah. What happened was, and I had to shut down my company in 2019, all sorts of thievery, forgery. He had fake names, fake emails. You can't even make it up. It was so over the top. And I became really mad at myself because I trusted him implicitly. I trusted him. I knew him 20 years. And I said, and there were all these signs, and I ignored them. And then I started realizing I'm not the only one that's been violated in trust. And I started looking at trust on a macro level. And I looked out there at the world as it stands today. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that trust is at a nadir. We're at the lowest point of trust without anything. I won't even go into the political situation in this country because it's such an extreme, a mockery, and the movements out there creating hate and separation. Mm-hmm. And then you think about every single thing. Chapter 2 of the book's about what should I buy when I'm sold? And it talks about all these products that are marketed to us with fallacious representations. Some of it's funny, some of it's not. But I go into all these different things, so I became very introspective, and I think it's a real wake-up call.
You know what? You get a big amen from me because, I mean, when I was younger, I was told to trust everybody. And then I heard people have to earn your trust. And then I found out that no, people who are pitching, they're pitching you, they're manipulating you. And then when you get it to be an adult, that's the game. It's kind of, harrowing in a way, but it is the case. So I understand what you're talking about. I guess you're the person that would know about what's trustworthy and what isn't.
Look, the bottom line is your gut is usually 98% of the time right. You do not go against your gut instinct. And if you do, you defy that instinct, probably making a mistake. I'm never going to stop trusting. I like trusting.
Do you?
I like embrace. I really do. I help a lot of people. I do all sorts of things. I've written a couple other books about networking. I'm putting people together all the time. If you're a great networker, you got to be very trusting. And I want to be trusting. I'm just smarter about it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm much more thorough. And I things I didn't focus on before, I focus on. I was playing tennis with a tennis pro, a young guy. Mm-hmm. And I got friendly with him a little bit. And I said, next time I see you, I'm going to bring you my book. And I did. And I come back. He sends me a message 5 days later. Your book, you just changed my life. And I said, whoa. I've been getting a lot of very extreme reactions to me, like how much I help them. I go back to play with him. And he says to me, look, I have this beautiful girlfriend. She's Russian. Right away, I get a little nervous. Yeah. And he shows me a picture. And she's 23. He's 25. She's pressuring him to get married. She wants two kids right away. Her mother's pressuring him. And he's vacillating. And the reason he doesn't like her, she's good to him. Uh-huh. But being out there in the world, he doesn't like her. Just, it's been bothering. He reads the book.
Mm-hmm.
He broke up with her.
There you go.
So, you don't go against your gut feeling, but don't defy trust. But trust is such a point. There are people out there saying, I trust nobody, nothing. I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
That's a terrible way to live your life. I remember 9/11. I was in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That was a day I was walking down the street and I had to go home. There was no transportation. And there was no hatred that day. There was no separation between the black, white, green, yellow. That day, everybody was grabbing everybody's hand,
correct,
embracing them, putting them in the car. That day, we were all Americans. That day, mm-hmm, all the stuff that media induces, that creates separation, that creates hatred, was flushed down the toilet. Because that day, we were all united. The following day after that, I was walked by Lenox Hill Hospital. There were hundreds of people in line to donate blood to people they didn't
mm-hmm
know.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time we had something like that? We have so much division in this country, and so much of it, is driven by lack of trust, driven by all these media outlets. Watching TV, it's painful, I could go on and on, but
yeah,
anyone asked me, so.
No, yeah, I mean, don't people have to earn your trust? I mean, you don't start with trust and then see them knock it down. I mean, don't they have to earn that at a point before you can trust? Or is that where you start the baseline?
It's a great question, and the answer is yes. I mean, but there's signs right away. The way people conduct themselves. I talk about in the book about do you discern who are your real friends? And I tell a story about this guy, good-looking guy, very successful. I've been friends with him for a really long time, but every time I'm with him, it's all about him. He's mm-hmm bringing up this girlfriend, it's all yep about his problems.
Yep.
All he does is talk about himself.
Yep.
If I bring up anything about me, totally, like, no reaction, like he doesn't even hear.
Yep.
And it got to the point that I said, I really can't be around this guy because he's a me guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't trust him. I don't even, it's all mm-hmm about him. How can you even trust him? So I describe him as a guy that lives in a room where all the walls are mirrors. All he does is keep looking at himself. So you have to discern, people that really care, people that go out of their way, people that are sincere in their intentions. And most importantly, when you say you're going to do something, do it. People that don't follow through, that's hard to trust someone like that way.
Yeah.
So that there are things that are barometers, and you just got to be smart about it.
I guess so. I mean, the other part is the religious aspect. I don't know if you want to get into that, but I mean, we're taught, most people are taught in their lives that everybody is good. That's the baseline. Everybody is good. And I have found that, no, there's a pretty good split there.
There is a 1,000% a pretty good split there. And, good, what does that mean anyway? And, in reality, religion, and look, I'm a Jewish guy, and mm-hmm I'm proud of my religion. And,
yep.
But, religion creates separation. And
yes,
in many cases,
yes,
creates apathy, hate. And look at the prejudice that ensues because you're not me. And
correct.
So there's a bad thing about it. I mean, go back to that, the example of 9/11. There was no one that was religious. It wasn't a matter that you were Jewish, black, green, Chinese, or Catholic. We were all Americans that day. So separation's a bad thing. If a bomb blew up by your radio studio right now, and mm-hmm all the people there, everyone would be grabbing each other and grabbing each other's arms and
yes
helping everybody because that's
yes
our instincts.
Yeah.
But all this, we're constantly affected by the things that we see in our lives, media and politicians. I mean, I don't really want to go there because everyone has their views, but I would argue that what's happening in this country today, look at the crime. I'm on the board of something called the CPR Foundation,
mm-hmm,
Community Police Relations, and we're trying to repair the hatred and get rid of it. We gave away 2,000 turkeys for Thanksgiving. We don't give them away. We give them to police. We go up to someone's home and knock on the door and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's insanity what's going on out there, and it's all very much driven by lack of trust.
Well, it is, which really has always been there. I mean, the only trust was in Walter Cronkite. that was it. That was it. And maybe in the president, but that didn't work out. But we, I think there was always hatred. It's just that now we have a license to practice the hatred. Seriously, I think that's what's happening.
And not only do we have a license, we have an acceptance for behavior that in the past there would be some ramifications. I mean, consider that people can get in New York City, you can go to a store and steal things. And if it's not over $1,000, they can't do anything. They can't get arrested.
Really?
They're arresting people. Yeah, literally. They arrest people 60, 70 times. They go and they let them go right away. The insanity of what's happened out there, and what does that do from a trust perspective or feeling comfortable around people or making it more separation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are in a very divisive world right now, and it's scary. We have to be much smarter. You know, that's really, and then, you know, with this book, I wrote this book for a reason. A, what happened to me, which was horrible, but I want to make a difference. I want people to be much more aware. I ask the reader, and I share all these personal stories, because if I'm going to be honest about myself, and everyone has things, I'm asking you when you read this book to be honest to yourself and be much more aware, and don't kick the can in the corner. Wake up and take responsibility, and you'll make less mistakes.
Are there people that actually don't even trust themselves?
Well, there's a chapter in the book, Do You Trust Yourself? And so I was doing a speaking gig, and I called on somebody in the audience, and the guy's name was Alejandro. And I said, and he's a good-looking guy. He gets up. I said, Alejandro, may I ask you a question? He says, sure. And I said, do you promise to give me a truthful answer? He says, yes, of course. I said, Alejandro, and I moved a little closer, I'm going to ask you a very important question. And it's the reason why it's so important is because I have an entire chapter on this question, 20 pages. So I started to repeat myself, but you do promise to give me a truthful answer. Now he's starting to squirm. He's getting a little nervous. He says, yeah. I said, I walked 5 feet from him. I looked in the eye. I said, Alejandro, do you trust yourself? And he said, of course I do. 1,000%. Totally trust me. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Just like that. He's looking at his feet.
I got you.
I smiled, and I said to him, I see that. Good-looking guy, achieved. I see it. Me too. I totally trust myself. This is my third book. I've got multiple companies. I'm on all these boards. Mm-hmm. I have a million friends. You and I, we have such a great amount in common. I totally trust myself, except when I don't.
Yeah.
And there are things in my life, if I really rewind the tape, either I did or didn't do, maybe I didn't totally trust myself. And I said, Alejandro, if you and I sat down and had heart-to-heart, you'd come to the same conclusion. He just stared at me. The entire room stared at me. At the end, he gave me his card. Can we get together and talk? Very cool chapter. A lot of insight into that chapter about that topic.
Yeah. I mean, now even with social media and the robo stuff, I personally trust people less because I think all they're trying to do is just get me to spend my money on them when the product isn't even really there.
Well,
I mean, that's become like the norm.
Well, think of what you just said.
Yep.
There's a chapter in the book titled is What Happened to the Humans, and it talks about how amazing all the technologies that there are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, wow, how fortunate we are. I remember going to over a bridge or into a tunnel, I had to pay a toll.
Yes.
You don't have to do that anymore. But and then you go fast forward to all these amazing things, artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk, Bill Gates, they're petrified of artificial intelligence. Because in the wrong hands, how dangerous is that?
Right.
Now let's jump to what you just said, social media. Do you know what a deep fake is?
Yes.
Okay, so deepfake. Someone could take a deep, you know, alter photos, make them real.
Yep.
There's a TED Talk, an Indian journalist, and I talk about this in the book. Indian journalist, beautiful, very attractive journalist, controversial, not liked. Someone did a deepfake video of her, took her physicality, put it in a porn video, and blasted the social media. Almost destroyed her career.
Yep, you can't tell the difference.
Deepfakes.
Yep.
So to your point, social media is a very, very, it's great, it's fun, it's good, you know, people make money, and it's also extremely dangerous. I would tell everyone, tell your kids, be very, very careful about what you post. Matrimonial attorneys, the first thing they do when they take on a case in a divorce is go into social media to see what they can find about the other party. And it becomes very dangerous what you post.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, people are stealing people's identities. I mean, they wouldn't want mine, but I mean, in general, it's just like, wow, oh my God. So yeah, there's a lot. And the bottom line of the book, it seems to me, is that just know what you're doing, know how to read this, and you'll be better off.
You'll be, I wrote it with passion. Mm-hmm. You can hear the way I speak. I think it really could change. Someone just sent me a voicemail saying, I just bought some buildings in Orlando, a developer, and he said, I would send you this voicemail, a list of it. He said this book was the most important thing book he's ever read in his life. He was going on and on. He says, I'm buying 50 books for my friends. They have to read this book. And he went into all the things I brought up, and he was stunned by it. And if that to me is worth $1 million. Just that voicemail that I made that difference. And that's why I wrote the book, to make a difference.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, the most successful people in the world are the people that use their guts. And it works. It works. But you have to know you have to know what's happening in there.
You're totally right.
Good job. The book is available at this point everywhere?
Yep. It's, you know, you can go on Amazon. Trust is a double-edged sword. Trust me, author Waywill. My middle name is Wayne. My son's middle name is William. I had to come up with something clever, hence Waywill. And I promise you that you'll walk away. And I'm available also. Anyone who gets the book, they can find me. I'd be more than glad to talk to anyone. If I can be helpful, it truly is my pleasure.
Wonderful. Is there a website that people can follow as you go through this?
You know something? I do have a website on the book. My assistant put it up. It's the title of the book, I think, it.com.
Okay.
It's starting to get some real velocity now. The book's at the Today Show right now, so we'll see if I get interviewed there.
Cool.
My first book, I did get interviewed on the Today Show, so we'll see. But anyway, it's important. It really will help people see what they're not looking at, and they need to look at things, you know, much more thoroughly so they make less mistakes in their lives.
Wow. That's amazing. And thank you so much for doing what you do and for sharing it with everybody else, because maybe things will get better accordingly.
I hope so.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Once again, it's a great book. Pick it up. It's Trust is a Double-Edged Sword. Trust me. Thank you so much. Pleasure. I need a drink. Can someone get me a drink, please? Alcoholic. An alcoholic one. Thank you. Sorry you had to hear that. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace. Mm-hmm.